And it's time now for our pre-opening commodity market report for this Friday morning. And here's Dave Dickey. Hi, Dave.
Good morning, Dan, and good Friday morning, everyone. Early calls for cash hog prices today are the same as they have been all week, flat to $1 per hundredweight lower. Terminals are called steady in a very light volume test today, with tops from $33 to $35. Peoria called steady today with a top price of $33. In the Eastern Corn Belt Daily Direct Hog Report for Thursday, November 1st, negotiated swine purchases were $13,839. For the base market hog on a 185-pound carcass basis, the base price range was $40 to $54. The weighted average, $48.06, a loss of $1.06 from Wednesday. On a live basis, barrels and gilts sold from $28.93 to $40.65, and the weighted average was $38.14. For the Western Daily Direct Hog Report, negotiated swine purchases were $17,672. The base price range, $40.25 to $56.25. The weighted average, $52.63, a gain of 27 cents from Wednesday. On a live basis, barrels and gilts sold from $33.76 to $41.20, and the weighted average was $38.58. Joining us now with a look at today's agricultural weather is AM 580 Chief Meteorologist Ed Kieser. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Dave. Looking at the Midwest Corn Belt, it looks like more open weather is on the way. So for late season field work, it may be cold at times, but generally favorable weather is expected for field work and having access to the fields. We will have dry weather through the weekend. A cold front will come through early next week on Monday. Now that front, as it pushes southeastward into the heat of the day, could trigger some scattered showers in mainly the Ohio River Valley and eastern areas, including Ohio, during Monday afternoon. But once that front passes, dry weather follows. It'll just be windy and cold on Tuesday and still on the chilly side on Wednesday. There could be some lake effect rain and snow showers to the lee of the Great Lakes. So it'll be cloudy and maybe a little damp around northern Indiana, Michigan, northeast Ohio, also portions of northern Wisconsin and upper Michigan. But the bulk of the Midwest Corn Belt will stay dry next week, as well as high pressure will move in. We'll get winds out of the south again later next week, so it'll warm up some. And then the models put the next chance of rain coming in around the morning of the 10th of November, and that's a week from tomorrow. So there could be some showers around at that time. And precipitation could be a little more significant going into Sunday as well. So that's far enough out that there's no guarantee on that, but it appears that dry weather is going to last for at least another week. So if you don't have your field work done yet, you have another week to get it done. We will have more bouts with frost and freeze. It appears that after the strong cold front goes through on Monday, we'll have a couple days where high temperatures over most of Illinois and Indiana will be in the 40s, even some 30s in far northern Indiana. And low temperatures in many places will be in the 20s, far enough below freezing that those areas that haven't lost the growing season yet, and some places did this morning, those places will likely lose the growing season next week, and it'll be all over for everybody in Illinois and Indiana and the Midwest Corn Belt. But we're really not talking about crops growing anymore anyway. The corn and soybeans are all done. Now, as far as South America goes, in Brazil, some rain has fallen in southern into central production areas here over the last 24 hours, and some of the rainfall has been a bit on the heavy side as well, and it appears that that area is slowly pushing northward. So this is going to cause some delays in planting, but providing good soil moisture. The heavy rain's been around Rio Grande do Sul and Santa Catarina and Paraná already, and it's pushing northeastward, and the heaviest rainfall over the next day or two will be across portions of Mato Grosso do Sul, northern Paraná, Sao Paulo, into southern Minas Gerais, southwestern Goiás, and southern Mato Grosso. And then as this front pushes northeastward, scattered showers will come to even the northeastern growing areas that have been very dry of late. That will include northeastern Goyas, northern Minas Gerais, and Bahia. But those areas probably will not get as much rain as they need. But on the other hand, some rain for them is better than no rain. So it does look like they are going to be seeing some improving conditions. Meanwhile, Argentina is turning dry. That's not going to be a problem, but next week is a big issue. Later in the week, rain will have to come to at least the southern portions of the corn and bean belt of Argentina. Otherwise, we could be looking at some problems there if rain doesn't materialize later in the week. And right now, the long-range maps are not giving us a good handle on the situation. So we'll be watching that next week. La Pampa, Buenos Aires, southern Cordoba, southern portions of Santa Fe provinces are where we're focusing on the potential for problems with dryness in Argentina. We'll have more on that next week. That's a look at the growing areas. I'm meteorologist Ed Kieser.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from the Archer Daniels Midland Company. ADM, resourceful by nature.
In the Thursday overnight trading session, Kansas City December wheat opened at 805 and three quarters, up 1 1/4. Last trade up 1 1/2. At the Board of Trade in Chicago, December wheat opened at 778 and a half, up 1/4. Last trade up 1 3/4. July, 662 and three quarters on change. Last trade up 3 1/4. December corn opened at 368 and three quarters, unchanged. Last trade up 2 1/2. July 404 down 3/4. Last trade up 2 3/4. December of next year 416 up 3/4. Last trade up 1 3/4. November beans open at 990 down 3/4. Last trade up 2. January 1005 down 1 1/2. Last trade up 2 1/2. July 1033 up 1/2. Last trade up 2 3/4. November of next year 957 and 3/4 down 1 3/4. Last trade up 3/4. December soybean meal open at 272 down 10. Last trade up 50. December soybean oil open at 42 down 7. Last trade up 10. Joining us now on the telephone to talk about the markets is Jackie Vakes of Stewart Peterson Group out of West Bend, Wisconsin. Good morning, Jackie.
Good morning, Dave.
Well, where would you like to start today? Should we begin with the beans, which have had some rather big swings this week?
Well, we certainly can. I mean, when you look at the beans, I think just like all of the commodities, the beans have been riding the energy bubble. And, you know, the energy bubble is got to be concerning to traders just in general. I think that there's two things going on. I believe that the energy prices are being driven by fear and greed rather than fundamentals. So that's got to be concerning. And on the other side of it, I think we're starting to see some movement perhaps on the part of some of the major funds away from beans. When you go to corn, we'll just move right on to corn. You know, it looks as if we've probably got one of the major funds moving about 60,000 contracts today from 07 out into the 08 contract, most likely to move to the March of 08, but, you know, it'd be interesting to see what really happens.
So does that mean for the December that we might be seeing an interim trend change and, I don't know, support in the 360 area perhaps?
Well, I would think so. You know, I would hope with that we might be able to hang on to the 365 level, but 360 should be very strong support. And yeah, you know, we've had a pretty nice ride here for a while, so I would expect to see, you know, somewhat of a softening. And I think in general, although, you know, early this morning the dollar was up pretty strong, now the dollar is down again on some weak unemployment numbers. We're getting a lot of different opinions coming out of the, you know, out of the government reports this week. You saw it in exports yesterday. You know, I think we had very poor exports, more related to the fact that a lot of importers were waiting to see if the Fed was actually going to lower the interest rate, because we know that if they wouldn't have, we probably would have seen a pretty strong pullback. And, you know, we had FC Stone come out a little tighter production number. I don't think it's going to mean a whole lot. We'll see what Informa says when they come out during the day today.
And we're also looking at that U.S. dollar. We're at 76.24 now for the all-time low. Does it matter much, I mean, if we waffle around here in the 76s, low 77s, don't we really need a recovery into the 78, 79, 80 area in order to be convinced that this thing's turning?
Oh, and I actually am probably, I'm more on the side of I think we've got to be back in that 82, 83 area. One of the things I think that in talking to clients that I really see them miss, I keep hearing, you know, prices can't go any higher, but when you look at the American dollar, you know, if you had $8 beans and somebody was on par with us, in other words, their dollar was worth our dollar, and you had a $92 level on the American dollar, which we've had, you know, you've got $7.36 cash basically to them. You take $10 beans with us at $76, and you got $7.60 cash. We got a $2 change on the board, mm-hmm. and only about a 24-cent change in actual cash. And that's why we're seeing, you know, such a dramatic drive as far as the export market goes.
All right, then. Very quickly, calls for today on the grains.
On grains, basically, corn and wheat up 1 to 3, beans up 2 to 4, pretty much in line with the overnights last night.
And very quickly, a wheat call.
Wheat call, yeah, 1 to 3, the same as the corn.
Okay. Thank you much, Jackie.
Oh, you're welcome. Have a great day.
You too. Jackie Vakes of Stuart Peterson Group. You're listening to WILO Urbana, the broadcasting service of the College of Communications at the University of Illinois.